Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter and a broker here at StoneX. I work in futures and options. I also do OTC, cash consulting, anything we can in the agricultural markets. If you have any questions for me, if you're a client here, want to know more about our services or want to do more about what we're talking on this podcast, give me a call. Number is 800-958-9470. Or 312-706-7610. You can also email me at craig.turner@stonex.com. If you're not a client and you're interested in what we're doing, feel free to contact me. All my contact information is in the show notes and on the website. If you're interested in the newsletter, you can go check out turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. And if you like the podcast, please go to iTunes and give us a positive review. It helps people find us. And feel free to forward it on to anyone you think might like it. So it has been a crazy couple of months here with the grain markets. I feel like, oh man, since spring, maybe even the late winter, it's almost been nonstop around here. So with the markets slowing down a little bit, or even though it's in very wide ranges and it can seem very fast, we're trading in wide ranges. We're not making new highs. We're not making new lows. I wanted to take a second here and take a look at some of the other markets that we may not have been focusing on a whole lot that we usually do and in the past, but the grain markets have just taken up so much of our time and resources here. We haven't touched on them in a little bit. So I'm going to start off with the Fed. The Fed had a meeting today, and they basically, in a nutshell, inflation is transitory. Meaning that the uptick in inflation means there's actually an uptick in demand and a downtick in supply. So that's what they mean when they say that. They don't think it has to do with, like, you know, there's no change in supply and demand. Like, that's constant, but prices are going up because of inflation of the dollars. What the Fed is arguing is the inflation that we're seeing really is a demand versus supply, and that'll eventually come in. They make a good case for it. Maybe part of it's that. Maybe part of it is more money into the supply. We'll know for sure over the next 6 months, right? Because if energy keeps on going higher, you would think there would be more production. If the grain markets are higher, more acres should come out. Stuff like that. Can't do anything about real estate. Land is fixed. But there are a lot of things in terms of production, means of production, that can be increased. And if that helps bring prices down over the next 6 months, you know, then we'll know that indeed most of the inflation probably was transitory. If not, that'll be interesting too. I think energy prices are going to be high for a while. And I don't think it has to do with the printing of money. I think it has to do more with just the supply and demand. I think grain prices and probably meat prices can stay high for a while too. Again, it has more to do with supply and the strong demand, but we'll get into that. So the Fed also commented on interest rates, and they still plan on a hike in 23 and tapering some way. But this is 18 to 24 months down the road. Nothing that we have to worry about now, nor should really the market. But the Fed is watching inflation. They do know the economy is getting hot. We're coming out of the coronavirus recession, if you want to call it that, or downturn, the recovery. And they want to see growth. They want to see economic growth. They want to see employment. They want to see all these things before they start really turning their eye to inflation. And I think they're telegraphing it well, with no, not really pulling any punches or surprises in the economy, and that's what you want. You are seeing the dollar go up, and the dollar is at 92, September dollar index, about 92.75 right around now when I'm doing this podcast. I think we're up at 93 back in March. So the dollar is getting high. Now, when the dollar gets high, usually prices come down a little bit, and that's not the case. So that's interesting too. And also, why is the dollar higher if we're worried about inflation? If that was the case, the dollar would be lower. So what that's telling me, between the strong strong stock market, strong commodity prices, strong dollar, is we're actually seeing real growth and demand as we come out of basically lockdown. And that's what we're seeing. That explains this probably the best if we're just looking for a simple solution and an explanation. And it's going to take time to ramp up production in crude oil for gasoline and heating oil. It's going to take time to also ramp up production for natural gas. I think even the government, and we'll get into natural gas too, but just a little glimpse into that conversation a little bit later, is that the government did a while ago said natural gas production would be down this year. And it had a lot to do with the shutdowns and also lower demand. And now demand's coming back in a big way. And you can take a look at the natural gas market, and it's caught a lot of us by surprise how strong it's been recently. We'll get into that in a little bit. So these kind of things are going on. That makes sometimes the inflation numbers look worse than they are, and that's why the Fed is kind of saying what they are. So that is the macro environment. Let's turn our attention to the energy markets. I think crude has run up here. We've been liking crude for a while. I still like crude in the long term, even in the medium and short term. I do think we could correct here a little bit. We have gone way up. I've been looking at the spreads like September versus December. We're getting pretty high. September versus December crude is around 284. I want to say traded as high as 3. It rarely gets above 3. I think a couple of times over the past, I look back at some of the 30-year historical charts. We've only been up this high a couple of times in the past 30 years, usually in very strong supply or demand shocks or something like that. So to see SEP versus DEIS over 3 is rare. Are we due for a little bit of a pullback? I think we could see a little bit of pullback in energy because of this whole the Delta variant of COVID going on in India. And while the United States is vaccinated, who wanted to get vaccinated, got vaccinated, that is not the case with other countries. So as COVID mutates, the rest of the world could see much harder shutdowns again than the United States does, because they might not be, because that those vaccines just aren't as ready available yet. I know they're working towards it, but there's only so many vaccines, and you got to produce them, you got to get them over there and distribute them. And it takes time to do that. So I wouldn't be shocked if we saw some kind of shutdown, not in the United States, but I can see us going back to masks in the United States. But I don't think we'll shut down or mandatory masks, which I don't want to see, but it could happen if the government, especially here in Illinois, they can pull the rug out from under any time and that kind of stuff. But could definitely happen around the world, Europe, Asia, South America, and that could put a hamper on crude oil prices. So I am a little bit concerned. If we're buying bull call spreads in December, that's something you can sit through. If you're long the futures, you may want to look to step aside here. If you want to play the short side of crude, I would look at the SEP-D spread. Again, you don't have to risk a whole lot. I probably wouldn't risk more than 30 or 40 cents on an idea like that, maybe 50 tops on the short term. But ultimately, what I want to do is use any kind of very big dip to get into some probably long-term call spreads in December and farther out. But in the short term, there is risk here. What is interesting is natural gas. It's really taken off here. I'm just going to bring up a chart of the August. Let's take a look at December natural gas. December natural gas in March was 287. Now we're 371. We've gone up a full dollar. We're up like 30% this year in natural gas. If you look at it year over year, we're low to high year over year, maybe up 50% in the natural gas market. And what's happened? Well, COVID did shut down production. We did have lower demand. The regulations, producing natural gas are a little bit more intrusive. So that's a factor. And then we had this huge demand surge. And it's not just the United States, it's also overseas as a big, and for liquid natural gas. And what we've seen here is a very big demand push for natural gas within the country. But also outside, as the United States has been being an exporter of energy and natural gas. So we could go to $4 in natural gas, it looks like. You read some of these analysts and the energy people. I was talking to some of the StoneX people, and they are bullish. And it seems like a lot of people are bullish here, where this is not just some kind of short-term move. It's going to take a while for the natural gas market to kind of correct here and build up supply. And here we are, we're just in July 7th. We've got the rest of the summer to go, and it could get hot. So natural gas could be interesting here. We can look at the spreads or the futures or maybe some options, but I think natural gas continue to be bullish. I got the question the other day, do you buy natural gas and sell crude oil? It's known as the widowmaker. That's an old trade that you don't see too much of anymore, but spreading those two against each other, because they can both go against you, pretty wild. But it is interesting. So I do think natural gas has bullish potential here. Crude and natural gas is more of a like heating and energy, I mean, and cooling type deal here in the United States, at least. Crude has more to do with manufacturing and travel. So that could come down, that could probably get hurt more in a lockdown situation, even if it's like overseas. So I keep that in mind here. So there, but they'll but they are related in some respects. So that's our ideas on energy right now. I like as far as the grain markets go. Oh, and I'm gonna just touch on livestock for a second. I do get questions on livestock. I haven't been doing a whole lot on livestock, and the reason being is for us to get a good handle on the livestock market, you have to have, I think you have to have a good handle on the grain markets. I mean, it is the feed component to livestock. And if you don't have a good handle on grains, or if it's just a high volatility, then I think it just makes cattle and hogs that much different. So we haven't been focusing a whole lot on cattle and hogs until the grain markets can calm down a little bit. The grain markets, I'm still bullish on beans, and I think spring wheat and corn, I think, is going to be volatile. The best risk reward is probably beans and bean oil right now, maybe spring wheat. But the corn market, the corn market's had a little bit of a tough go recently, and I think the ceiling for corn is going to be lower than it in percentage wise in terms of the next move over soybeans. So let's get into that real quick. I do like buy if I were going to buy soybeans. You know what's an interesting spread now is July 22 versus Nov 22. When you look at this balance sheet. This balance sheet is telling me that, even at a trend line yield, we're at 155 ending stocks with the acres that the USDA talk. Even if we're just a half a bushel, over a bushel lower, if our yields are 49.8, so we just lose one bushel, we're past pipeline minimum, which means we have to start price rationing extremely just on the get-go here of the marketing year. So in my mind, any kind of increased demand or production issues overseas just send soybeans up that much higher. I think something like I was looking at no July versus Nov this year. Let's just say from the 2021 crop, July versus Nov got as high as I want to say 230. Yeah, about 230, right? So let's say we have the same tight stocks next year, and we have weather issues, or it's always some kind of weather scare, a big influx in demand. July versus Nov right now for 22 is at 80 cents. So could it go back up to $2 next year? 230? It could, especially we're starting off tighter this year than we were last year, I think. So I do think South America will bring out more acres, and you can't have, crop issues after crop issues. Eventually you're gonna get a bumper crop. But in the meantime, you could see some fireworks in that. So if I were buying beans here, if someone's looking to buy beans, you could look at Nov v Nov. I like that. The July 22 versus the Nov 22 looks interesting also. There's still risk in it. I think we were trading as low as 65 cents, but we're at 83 now. And if it's something you want to hold on to, you can do. So I think I like that as the longer term play. If you want to do shorter term stuff, I would just use the options, but the options are expensive. No one wants to buy futures sometimes right around now because who wants to deal with dollar down days? So if you're looking for a way to play it, I do like the Nov 22 versus, I mean the July 22 versus the Nov 22 for the soybean traders out there. For corn, kind of more mixed bag. I still am bullish, but I just don't think the highs are going to be like the highs we were hoping for later. The production that we're seeing or the conditions we're seeing in the Eastern Corn Belt are very good. And they're going to have above trend line yields. And the question is, how low is the Western Corn Belt, or really the northwestern part of the Western Corn Belt? And probably the Northern Plains, like how bad is it going to be there? And will the losses that that part of the country has, how much can the Eastern Corn Belt make up for it? I think it's some of it. I do think I hard to see a trend line yield, but you never know. The seed technology is amazing. We plant. Think about the late planting we had a couple of years ago and how well the yields did. And over the past 5 or 7 years, every time we think we have drought and the yields you're going to be terrible. The crop really does bounce back much, much better. So if you don't, as long as you just don't kill it, there should be a pretty good crop. Now, do I think they're going to be the trend line? I'd be very, very surprised, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as people. I don't think we're going to be sub 170 yield. I think we could be the low of the mid 170s. And if we're 176 or 175, we're about a 1.2 or 1.3 billion carryout. And that means corn really should be harvest lows 450, maybe highs 550, $6 going forward on a carryout like that. So if we do get, so if that's where the market thinks we'll be, one last summer rally could get us up into the 550 to $6 range on these corn. But if we have a closer to a trend line yield, don't take 450 out of the equation on a harvest low here on December corn. So I think it's more likely to go higher, but just in the realm of possibilities, it's not out of the question. It's not out of the question to get down there. So that's something to keep in mind with corn too. If I were looking to buy corn, I'd probably hold off a little bit. If we're going to have the WASDE report come up this week, I don't think they're going to change yields. I think the recent rains that we got is it allows the USDA to punt another month and just say, we'll revisit yields in August when we see them. Really not expecting the soybean yield to come down much, maybe a little bit, and early on. And then for corn, we'll be through pollination. We'll have a much better idea of where the crop is by the August WASDE. Probably have some crop tours going on too. So we'll see what the yield estimates are. I would think they come down a little bit for beans, which beans can't afford to lose anything. That's why we're kind of bullish on it. I would be looking at ways to somehow get some limited risk bullish plays on soybeans, and corn's going to be a little bit more neutral. So in the newsletter, if I'm having a conversation with you this week, I'm going to be focusing on maybe some short-term bearish crude ideas. And if we don't want to kind of time the market like that, we'll just wait for the next pullback to get some longer-term crude positions on. For natural gas, if you guys have a, like propane has a direct link to natural gas prices. There may be some, the speculators can look at ways to buy it. If you're a hedger or a producer out there and you need it for production, I would take a look at maybe some hedges in that. And then as far as the grain markets go, I think soybeans is the favorite one here. We can always take a look at spreading beans versus corn. That might be interesting. I like that July 22, NOV 22 timing is, when we're trading it and speccing, if we are going to be speccing here, timing is a big part of this, right, too. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. I'd say the last thing on the spec side of the grain markets is rice is hitting our radar again. The acres did not expand. I think, they're pretty constant for rice while we saw expansion in other markets. We got a feeling that demand is probably understated by the USDA. And if the other grain markets are going to be this high, rice has room to run also as it hits support. And let's say the high 12s to low 13s. So rice is making more of an argument to get some attention here. To see if it can go up to 14 or 15 bucks. And the reason being is production is not expanding. Production is going to stay the same. The other commodity markets, you're seeing the expansion of acres, not rice. And there are weather issues for everyone. And demand should be strong again for rice. So we'll take a look at that too. It's a small market. We always play that one small. If I had to rank them, I'd say soybeans first. Oh, and finally, before I forget, I still like soybean oil. I think soybeans and soybean oil are going to be bullish here. We could see some weakness at any time. The bean oil market's kind of small compared to soybeans, right? And corn. It's a heck of a lot bigger than rice is and oats. But soybean oil is a little bit smaller. So I do like it. I do like December. We get some big pullbacks here into the mid-50s. I'm probably a buyer. There is going to be some resistance in the mid-60s up to 70, just like there were in the front months when May was the front month and when July was the front month. So we need to keep a note on that. But I do like it. I think there's some opportunity there. So that's the podcast for the week. If you have any questions for me, just contact me, 312-706-7610. If you're a client, you need to do something, give me a call. If you're not a client, you're interested in working with us, call, text, or email, or call and email me. Clients have my cell phone number. And clients, if you want to go by any of the stuff, you can text me too. So that is it. Have a great week, everyone. Weather should be improving, and we'll start focusing on a little bit more on the energy markets, the macro markets, and hopefully we can get to the livestock too. But we got to see the grain markets kind of find a direction here, and I think we'll know more about the direction of the grain markets over the next few weeks. Thanks for listening, everyone. Talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.